Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Jen and I'm very pleased to be joined this evening by June, who is probably most well known in practice for being the editor and illustrator of all of Sherry's books, but she's also behind the scenes on many, many other practice opportunities. In fact, she's a big reason that we're able to offer practice as widely as we do in the world. And one of those is the email classes, which she plays a very large part in. And she's agreed to be here with us this evening to talk about the upcoming Time to Feel Good email class. Welcome, June.
Hi, Jen.
Hey. So I thought maybe we'd start by just kind of giving an overview on what email classes are and how they work.
Well, it's pretty simple. It's all done through email. We send out, Sherry writes two exercises or assignments each week. And people who have signed up for the class do the exercises and then send in their response that they want to say in exercise. As the emails come in, basically I take them off the internet and put them in a document with no names and give them to Sherry to respond to.
It's actually one of the things that I think is so great about email classes is that it's all done anonymously, so people get to, you know, say it like it is and not have to worry about, what people are going to project onto me. And what we find is we're so much alike. I mean, I love that experience we joke about. Like, you read the responses and think, did I write that? I can't remember if I wrote that. Yeah. So
after Sherry responds to virtually all of them, we post them on a page on the internet and out an announcement that they've been posted. And anyone on the general mailing list for Living Compassion in the Monastery is welcome to sign up. There are various prices. People who make a monthly donation to the to Living Compassion and or my get a reduced price.
Another way of saying thank you to the folks
yes.
who are the foundational support of the work.
And the topic of the email classes varies. The one that's coming up in November, that starts in November, is for the whole month of November. Is actually the third time that we're doing one called It's Time to Feel Good. And it's all based on Sherry's latest book, What You Practice is What You Have.
It's such a great title. It's Time to Feel Good. I wonder if you could link that up. How did you guys get from What You Practice is What You Have, which is the book that it's based on, to titling the email class It's Time to Feel Good?
Well, the primary practice that's presented in the book and in the email class is recording and listening. It is just support. Everyone that we hear from who embraces that practice and sticks with it finds it just to be enormously helpful. Not believing all the stuff that goes through our ears, you know, that goes through our heads between our ears.
Right.
Getting it out of there. Recording what is so instead. Listening to it.
Yeah. So it does two primary things, both of which are, to me at least, in my experience, fall under the heading of learning to direct the attention, which as far as I can tell is the primary tool that we have on our side. that conditioning does not have, because, of course, how conditioning causes us to suffer is to commandeer our attention. It's the only way it can cause us to suffer. And so if we learn to be the master of our own attention, then we have our lives back. And as you're saying, recording and listening is such a powerful tool for that. And what I love about you guys offering the class over and over again is not just that, I mean, you offered it the first time, and I remember, if you know, the second time it was offered because so many people started to hear, it's all anyone ever was talking about on the radio show or on, you know, when we'd have at-home working meditation days or whatever, everyone was always talking about, oh, the email class, the recording and listening. So I think it was sort of by popular demand the second time around. Yeah. But the other thing that occurs to me that's so powerful about doing it over and over is that because it's such an effective tool, conditioning just puts up such a fight to talk people out of it. And so I'm looking forward to it just because it's such a great support to come back together with a group of people, you know, brush off the dust and go for it again.
And the thing about doing this class for the third time is that those who have done it before can sign up again because it's going to be in three tracks. It'll be the original class for people who've never done it. There'll be the second track for the people who are taking it for the second. There'll be a new third track for people who want to sign up for the third time.
It's extraordinary, really.
Yeah. There's other lots of nice new exercises to engage in.
Oh, that's so great. That's so great. And I know when we did it the second time, and so I was doing the second track, I really enjoyed reading at least some of the responses of the first track also.
Yeah.
For that very reason, just kind of the solidarity and remembering what it's like to start the recording practice and just that so often people who are just starting it are seeing, you know, have those same, wow, this is brand new, conditioning doesn't have a chance to slide in there yet and get a hold of it kinds of insights that I find so supportive to remember and come back to. So I think the deadline is coming up. Is the deadline November 1st to sign up?
The deadline to sign up is actually October, let's see.
That's what we're talking.
I mean, I think it's October 30th. And we send out a confirmation on the 31st. And then the class begins on November 1st.
Great. So it's...
one email a week, I think, is being sent announcing it. At least one, possibly two, have already been sent. But anyone can just go to livingcompassion.org. And there's a link right there, I believe, on the opening page.
Yep, I just saw it. And you're right. So it says to register by Monday, October 30th. $60 for monthly donors, $80 for other folks. And as you say, there are those three tracks. And so I imagine when you sign up, you sort of say which track you're going to, or maybe it doesn't matter, I don't know. Do you say which track you're going to do as you're signing up?
That would be a really good idea. but I'm sure that we will.
Yeah, you'll kind of sort that out as the bus gets started. Yep.
Yes. And the other aspect of this is those who do this work based on the new book, What You Practice Is What You Have, qualify to be it makes it a possibility that they need the foundation.
Yeah.
It's one of the legs of the foundation of being invited to attend probably the most remarkable retreat that has ever been presented at the monastery.
I can definitely
practice is what you have.
Yep, really is. And I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah, so doing the Time to Feel Good email class is the first step towards being eligible to attend that retreat. And it's huge. It really is, you know, we talk about it as being the sequel to the There Is Nothing Wrong With You work. And Sherry's talked about the What You Practice Is What You Have book being the sequel to the There Is Nothing Wrong With You book. And it, you know, the two retreats sort of go hand in hand with each other in that same way. Great.
Pretty
so
cool stuff.
Anything else you think we should mention about it, June?
One other thing is that most people follow along day to day. I'm assuming from home or wherever it is they get their email. But it can be anywhere you have email and can retrieve it, retrieve the daily and then the daily assignments and then send in your response. Sending in a response is optional.
Yeah.
And if you're not able to keep up with it day to day, that works okay too. It's best not to get too far behind. Yeah, it's not. It's a little bit of a do it at your own pace kind of thing.
Yep, which is so great because those links, as you say, where the responses go up, those are available anytime. So if you're, you know, somewhere where things are really, really busy for a while and all you're doing is reading the assignments and sort of considering them, because I know for myself I find that even if, you know, maybe we're in the middle of facilitating a retreat and so we don't have as much time as usual, at least reading the assignment and just kind of holding it in my awareness really makes a big difference. And then when I have the time, I can go back and read other folks' responses or respond if I haven't responded. And I love the thing about, you know, wherever you can get email, because I just realized as you were saying that I'm going to be in Africa for half of this email class, which is really pretty fun. So I'm going to be halfway around the world, but I'll still have that supportive Sangha right there with me. Pretty cool.
Yes, and I'm not even going to be at home as a behind-the-scenes support person for part of the email class. But because I'll have a computer with me, everything, that's the beauty of doing it this way.
Yeah.
Anywhere you can get internet access.
Yeah.
Sangha and Dharma and Bodhi.
Yeah.
All three are right there waiting for
you. That's right. And you know, what? The other thing, and we've got to turn it back over to Michael and Sherry, but what just flashed through, I realized, is that I'll bet you a lot of people are going to be in that situation this month because the holidays are starting.
Yeah.
And what better support to begin that, you know, what can be a difficult time for people. But just thinking of all the different places people will be for Thanksgiving and what that brings up for people and all that. So to be in the middle of a Time to Feel Good email class, learning to have my attention on the process I want for my life. Wow, good timing.
Good timing.
Yeah. Well, great. Thanks for being on, June.
Hey, thank you.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Sorry about that, Michael. Turning it over to you.
No problem. It's a pleasure to hear from you both.
Okay, thank you. Have a great show.
Thank you, Jen. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, it's always time to feel good.
It's always time to feel good, right now. This
yes.
is the right time, and this is the right place, right here,
yes.
right now.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
It's a good
Very
thing
exciting.
That we're talking about something fun since they're taking up our show, don't you think?
Yes, yes, yes. Good. And how are you today?
Good. Great. I'm on
Great.
Retreat.
Great.
Yeah. So,
Great.
You know, it's life is good.
Great.
Well, life is always
Great.
Good, isn't it? And I'm good right along with life today.
Great.
And yourself?
I'm just fabulous. Just fabulous. Very grateful. And I have some announcements here. October 21st and 22nd, that's a Friday evening and all day Saturday, Creative Power and Life and Art, Finding Your Creative Muse, Exploring Your Creative Path. This is a retreat with Sherry Huber and Jenny Fox at Namaste in Felton, California.
Hmm.
Also, Saturday, October 22nd from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., one-day at-home working meditation retreat guided by the monks. And the following Saturday, October 29th, guidance day for monthly donors. This is appointments by phone throughout the day. And then, as we just heard about, for the month of November, it's Time to Feel Good email class with you, Sherry, and register by Monday, October 30th.
Yes. So many opportunities.
Yes. Yes.
Hey, and I think I'm going to San Diego, right? November 5th?
Yes. You took the words out of my mouth.
Oh, good.
Saturday, November 5th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Awareness, it's not what you think. A workshop with Sherry in San Diego. And then to ring in the new year, December 27th through January 1st, that's a Tuesday through Sunday, a conscious, compassionate new year. This is the New Year's retreat with you, Sherry, and the monks at Santa Sabina Center in San Rafael, California. That's in the hills in beautiful Marin County.
Gorgeous spot, fabulous retreat.
Yes. It includes daily workshops and meditation, scenic walks, individual guidance with Sherry, yoga, and delicious vegetarian food. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on about 5 minutes and one topic, please. Shall we get started?
Yes, let's. Thanks, Michael.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hello, this is Andrea calling.
Hello, Andrea.
Hi.
How goes it?
Oh, well, it's good to talk. It's been a while. I guess I've been doing a lot of practicing, getting some relentless conditioning, and what it involves is an investment which has lost money. And I've realized my biggest fear, or a conditioning's biggest fear, which is to be a sucker and a fool.
Yes. Yes. Not that it actually fears that, because it will pursue it with as much enthusiasm as anything else. But getting you to feel like a sucker and a fool is what it's really going for, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it really attacked me yesterday. I managed to do the two-chair exercise and be really conscious when I was going home from work the entire time. And when I got home, I was able to not go crazy and to be able to just kind of break the news, you know, as little of a conditioned mind as possible. And I was able to tell Yuhan, you know, what was going on and what ego was saying and everything. So that helped. And then it attacked me again last night when I was trying to sleep. And that is what really I find difficult to deal with, because it disrupts my sleep and has me alone in the middle of the night and all kinds of really terrible types of thoughts that, you know, things that it's saying, like, not another day in samsara, I've had enough, I've lived long enough, and all this kind of stuff. And so I got up and I meditated, and then I listened to my reassurances and still didn't go back to sleep. And so I finally got up and I recorded and listened. And what I recorded was everything that conditioning was saying, everything all the voices were saying, all the suffering that the person was going through. And I listened to it.
And how was that?
It was actually really good. Surprisingly enough, it was better. I found it better. I felt more validated when I was actually listening to it than when I was actually recording it.
Uh-huh. And by validated, you mean you could really feel the person's suffering? You could get a strong sense of what was being done to her?
Yeah, and you know what? It's kind of, I forgot to say, when I was at the train station, I was very angry. And so there was a part of me yesterday that didn't want to deal with the anger and just kind of wanted to push it under and pretend it didn't exist and just kind of be unconscious. But what I did instead is I said, okay, there's an angry person. Let's list all the things we're angry about. And I just let that angry person list all these things. And like a total of about 15 things came up. And some of them were the same thing over again. And it was kind of like the mentor who was saying that. And then the mentor came in and said, okay, well, is there anyone here who can list anything that she feels grateful for? And, you know, the angry person kind of came in and said, you know, was really angry about that. But the mentor said, look, we don't have to do it, but we can just see. And I was able to list about 7 things I was grateful for. And it was, I guess, both of those two situations, I felt someone felt very validated.
Heard.
Yeah.
And did it feel like there was movement away from the identification?
Definitely after, yes, I did. I did feel like there was. And
getting it outside.
Yeah, yeah. Because what I see conditioning wanting to do is, the reason I started the conversation today with the two biggest fears of being a fool and conned is because there's conditioning wants to make sure that there's incredible shame about it. And so if I don't talk about it, then because there's all this shame, then it'll stay with me and torture me even more.
And was conditioning pointing out to you that this decision, this choice that you were making was not a good one? Before
yes.
You did whatever it was?
Well, you know, when I made the choice, I definitely feel like I made it from a, you know, like there's definitely a chip on my shoulder around money things. There's always lots of stories about how I don't believe in all this corporate type of stuff, and lots of stories about money, definitely.
But did conditioning say, don't do that, you're going to be made a fool of, or that's a...
There definitely was that thought that came up, but there was also this feeling of that I wasn't attached to the money, and that I had been getting a lot of conditioning that I should have invested in this particular stock, and if I had, I'd be a millionaire. So I finally just decided, okay, well, this stock looks good. I'm going to invest in this and see what happens.
So in other words, conditioning talked you into doing this.
I'm not sure if it's conditioning or not, but definitely conditioning is exploiting it.
Well, you were told that you should have invested in this thing. You would have been a millionaire.
Oh, yeah, in this previous stock. Yes, definitely conditioning is exploiting that. So there was someone who came in which kind of thought, okay, well, we haven't invested in anything. Let's see what happens and just do it and see what happens and see, you know, instead of sitting on the sideline and hearing that I should have done this, maybe I should just try
it and see what
happens. In other
words, you're goaded into doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And then beaten up for having done it. So if there's a foolishness about it, the foolishness is in following the guidance of conditioning.
Yeah, and I don't know who, you know, at this point I can't tell you if it was conditioned, you know.
I can't.
Okay.
What else would be doing that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I certainly didn't ask the mentor what to do when all that was happening.
There you go. So you're in a relationship with a voice in your head, and it's goading you, right? Because if you hadn't been sitting on the sidelines, you'd be rich now. So why don't you just go ahead and try it? Why don't you just do it? You're not attached to the money anyway. Just go ahead and do it. You do it. Doesn't work out the way you hoped,
mm-hmm.
and now you get a beating.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm just going to underline that. Only foolishness is being in relationship with that voice in the head and doing what it says.
Well, and it kind of convinced me that it was more like it was kind of like pseudo Zen, because it kind of came in with this, well, why don't we just do an experiment and see what happens?
An experiment that as soon as it doesn't go the way you want is going to result in a beating.
Yeah. And it was kind of like this feeling of, well, let's do this and see what happens, and see what conditioning does.
Uh-huh.
That was kind of that's basically what I got.
Yeah. Yeah. What conditioning suggested would be a good approach. Now,
yes.
Of course, you could at this point say, okay, well, that's great. I did the experiment, and I'm really clear once again what conditioning has to say. Thank you. That's
yeah, and I also I'm not believing the conditioning as much. I don't think I'm believing the story as much, that I should have bought this other stock.
Yeah. You know, of course, there's actually a shortcut to this. And that's not believing any of it.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to sort out, now is that a good stock tip or a bad stock tip?
Yeah, and just talking about this is making conditioning really uncomfortable because...
Oh. Mm. Yes. It conditioning is, self-hate is very comfortable alone with you, convincing you that you did all this and that it's all your fault and that you should feel bad and ashamed. Very happy with that.
And it's saying, you know, oh my God, you're telling all this to Sherry and the whole Sangha knows what a fool you are now. Oh my God.
Yeah, the whole Sangha knows exactly what conditioning is saying to you.
Exactly. And you're not looking good. You know, you have to look good for other people.
Conditioning doesn't look good, but here's the newsflash for conditioning. It never looks good.
Yeah.
Good. So not letting it keep secrets, not letting it hide out, not letting it have special private information that it can torture you with. Very helpful.
Yeah, and that's basically why I called in, even though there was a lot of resistance about doing it.
Yeah, good for you. Blow the whistle on it.
Yeah.
Good.
And the only other thing I want to say is when I've been having to make decisions, I've been asking the mentor what to do and remembering more and more to do that.
Very good. And if you learn that, once and for all, out of this situation, it will have been very worthwhile, no matter how much money you lost. Yeah. Hello?
Hello?
Did you hear what I just said?
No, I didn't hear what you said, no.
Ah, I said, if you learn once and for all to consult with the mentor
mm-hmm.
about decisions you're going to make, if you learn
mm-hmm.
that in this episode,
mm-hmm.
then it was very worthwhile, no matter
how
much it cost you.
Yeah, yeah. I think I just need to just really practice and be as vigilant as I can be.
Yes, and right the now. Other thing to practice with great diligence is directing the attention so that you are never in a position of being victimized middle of the day, middle of the night, regardless of the circumstances. You can turn your attention away from that harangue and be free of it.
Yeah. So just kind of listening to tapes or other things, is that kind of what you're thinking, or coming
mostly
back to the breath?
It's as simple as just turning it away from what you don't want to be attending to and bringing it to what you do want to attend. So what you do want to attend to could just be, as was suggested earlier, by your mentor, what you're grateful for.
Okay.
So you can be, instead of lost in a conversation with conditioned mind, you can just stop where you are and start through your gratitude list.
Yeah.
Followed up with all the things you love. Follow that up with all the things you enjoy. Follow that up with all of the good things that have ever happened to you. Follow that up with your attention on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, conditioning is coming in and telling me that's really, really hard when it's assaulting me so much. But I guess I just have to do it. So.
And you don't have to do it. You get to do it.
Yeah.
It's a way happier way to live.
That's true. That's true.
All right.
Okay. Thanks,
take
Sherry.
Good care.
Thanks, Michael.
Good night.
You're welcome.
Okay. Good night.
Thank you for joining us, Andrea. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller. Next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Renee.
Renee?
Hello? Hi.
How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. That was helpful.
Oh, good.
That previous call. Yeah. One of the things I've been practicing with is a lot of negative energy coming back, coming at me all the time. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So at work, you know, there's like people who are in authority who are just continually trying to get their agenda across, or unhappy people, and it seems to intensify lately. And I'm just working with, I am doing the turning my attention back to the breath a lot, and I was just looking for some more guidance maybe on how to deal with this when I'm with it, you know, 6-7 hours a day.
Yeah, it's that kind of torture system, isn't it? I mean, you can come in first thing in the morning and you're ready to go and energized, and then slowly over the day you can kind of feel it just leaching out under this.
Yeah, exactly. This morning I was doing that. I was like, okay, I'm not going to be a victim. I'm turning my attention. I'm meditating. I'm going to go in and, you know, keep doing this. And then something happens and my emotions come up, my anger or frustration or not enough time to do everything, whatever overwhelming feelings. All these feelings come flooding in.
And are you in a situation where you're essentially in the same room with other people, or is there some sort of a physical barrier that you can get behind?
Yeah, well, I mean, I have an office, so I can shut the door, which I do frequently when I have to focus on one thing. There's the ability to get away from it physically.
Uh-huh. And when the stress begins to build, are you aware of it building?
It doesn't feel like it's ever gone down much lately. So I'm thinking back before No, I don't think I am when it first starts.
Yeah, because it's that something happens and you have an emotional reaction to it. You get frustrated or that sort of thing. Are you aware that you're moving toward that, or does it just seem to come all of a sudden?
It seems to come all of a sudden. There's some hint that it might happen because these are repetitive things that have happened. I've been here for almost 4 years, so it's kind of the same patterns with the people. And
that can be really helpful. That is something that you can definitely use to your advantage. And
to try to pay attention to those hints a little bit earlier.
That's right. And to watch what the patterns are, so that you can start anticipating. Because if,
right.
You know, here's a projection, but what happens is that conditioning is doing the same thing inside you that they are, that it's doing inside them, and that they are doing outside to you.
Right.
Yeah? So everybody's
yes.
kind of roughly on the same program. And so if you can learn to anticipate that happening, you're not any longer falling for one of conditioning's primary ploys, and that is to distract you, get you to look over there, and then hit you with something when you're not looking. Sneak up and surprise you.
Right.
And
right.
I would bet that you know that place very well. I think all of us as conditioned humans know that one. We're just deeking along, and all of a sudden something comes at us, and we weren't expecting it. It throws us. There's a huge emotional reaction to it, and then, of course, conditioning can just come in and begin mop-up operations.
Right.
Yeah. So it can turn it into kind of a game of realizing that, so-and-so is on kind of this cycle. Or, wow, you know, that she always gets that way, like, right before lunch. Or, you know, when those two get together and start talking, I can know that, okay? And add a sort of a playful element to it, like it's a... You know, you could even surreptitiously put a kind of a little playing field and scoreboard on your desk, so that you can move the players around and see who, you know. And then it's like if somebody sneaks up and gets you, well, then logically they get a point. But if or 2 points or 3 points, depending on how, you know, what a good score it was. But if you can outmaneuver it, if you can get there first and fend off the attack or bring conscious awareness to it, then you get the points.
Right, right. That's great. So when I'm looking at the beginning of this, when I see the hints or the patterns, there's certain events that sometimes happen where I know something's going to happen. Then when I notice that, when you brought it up, I have done that a few times, but then I don't know what to do at that point.
Yes, well,
I mean,
of course, that's how the game develops, right? So you might have to, you know, obviously I'm making this up as we go along, but you could have all kinds of little things on your desk, right? They could sit in a box. And so you could have a little football helmet and some pads. Or you could have like a hockey stick or a baseball bat or any manner of game-related kinds of things. Or it could be, you know, tiddlywinks and jacks. But whatever it is, it's something that you can turn your attention to that you're going to then use in order to get through the next phase of whatever it is that's going on. So it could be as simple as directing your attention to which of these implements you're going to employ for the next phase of this. It could be something like, we've probably talked about this, where You can close your left hand, you know, make it into a light fist, just as a two things. One, energy tends to come into us from the left side. And so that's a reminder that you're not available just for anybody's energy that happens to come along. And if you can keep your hand configured like that, then the odds are good that you're attending to that issue. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean by that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. If you
yeah.
forget and your hand isn't like that any longer, then you've lost consciousness. It's kind of like when we're sitting in meditation, your thumbs fall apart. You can know you're not there, because
right.
if you were there, your thumbs would be
yeah.
touching. And so to use whatever those kinds of tools and techniques are to keep your attention on what you're remembering. So, you know, you have a little, some kind of a little something that you hold in your hand, and that represents, I'm going to keep good energy here for myself. This is my invisible shield. And so shields are up, and I'm here behind my shields, and like that. And what it's doing is keeping your attention from getting pulled into that karmically conditioned behavior that you would go into given what somebody's coming at you with. So you,
right,
obviously you can't affect them, right? That's just not going to happen.
Exactly.
We can't affect anybody
yeah.
else. I mean, okay, we can, but that can't be our motivation. But for you to stay present with you throughout. And then the next piece of it that I would strongly encourage is big rewards. You know, you keep
okay.
score and you get big rewards for having made it through. So instead of, oh God, I survived that, but the stress is all still there, the tension, and you know, you're still clamped down, you do something that enables you to release that tension and let yourself celebrate what you have just accomplished, change the energy, let it all go, have it for yourself, go on with your life.
Okay, great. That sounds great. When you mentioned the karmic thing, I totally feel that pull into it, you know,
yeah. Yeah.
especially focusing on what's wrong with the other person.
Mm. Yeah, and it's so easy to do, isn't it?
Yeah, and
it's so very
yeah.
obvious.
Yeah, and then all the coping stuff comes up, you know. Well, if I do this, if I do that, you know.
Yes.
And, yeah,
and
so.
Of course, none of it works because it's all buying into the same system. But to step outside of it and keep your attention in a way, in a place that keeps it available for you, doesn't let it get pulled into that, and if you can add the element of humor and fun, then, you know, you really are home free.
Perfect. Sounds great. I'm going to try it tomorrow.
Good. And didn't you, didn't we have a conversation once about that you would go into work with a motivation of being helpful that day? You know, when can I? And so that can be another piece of it, you know. When Andrea said something along the lines of, you know, it sounded like the triumph was I didn't go crazy. You know, I'm talking
right,
about
right.
something really upsetting, and I didn't go crazy. And we can all know that that's huge, right? When we can get to
yeah.
that point of disidentification,
yeah.
that's huge. And so to keep track of things like, you know, I just stayed kind. I just remained
yeah.
polite,
mm-hmm.
or I was able to continue to listen or reflect,
right.
whatever it is, and keep
mm-hmm.
track of those too.
Yes, and I have been doing that, and that is my goal, is to be mindful at work, and I've actually been doing like a project with it, trying different techniques at work.
Uh-huh.
So like the listening and all of those sorts of things. It's just been like this last 3 weeks, there's just been this huge amount of negative energy going. I don't, you know, there's a lot of it, a lot tied up in that, those two words that I'm talking about. But politics and posturing and, you know, all the stuff that goes on. And
it just seems to have heated up to a tense level.
And it's getting these emotions going in me.
And you know, Renee, that could be a clue too. A place to bring conscious awareness. You know, that if everybody seems kind of operating at a normal level, then you can sort of operate at a normal level. But if it seems like things are getting more intense, then that's a great time to practice bringing everything down. Bringing
so don't go with it. You're saying like bring it back down to a level that
yes, or even lower than level. So it's almost a teeter totter kind of thing. The higher that negative energy goes up, the more focus you put on not going into those places. So once again, it's bringing your attention where you want it to be, rather than having your experience be the result of what other people are doing.
That is so helpful. I definitely have been going up.
right. Well, we do. I mean, it as you've noticed, it takes a tremendous amount of concentration and focus and willingness to do something other than what we are karmically conditioned to do. And of course, that's the other place of compassion we can get to, because when we look around at everybody around us, they're operating out of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it really is going against the tide.
Yep, it is. Yeah.
And worth it.
Well, great. Yeah. Go ahead. It's these are all extremely helpful. I really appreciate it.
Hear from you.
Take a big breath. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good night.
Good show.
Thank you for joining us, Renee. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think Open Air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
By Trish Bruxford Colligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
Once you bathe in an ocean of roses, what if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Michael and Sherry. This is Jen.
Hey, Jen.
Hi.
Hi.
How cool
I feel
is it?
So lucky that we have a radio show that we can call and talk to you. I'm really happy. I'm so grateful for this.
Well, I'm grateful for it, too. So that's a really good arrangement, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah.
Oh, well, this has been wonderful hearing everybody that has been on. I was just looking, too, at, I think, really at directing the attention, which has seemed like a theme tonight. I'm still reading my way through the responses in the last email class from the Enneagram, and I was noticing in the there was an encouragement in one of the parts to really get clear about where do we want to direct our attention to, what we really choose to direct our attention toward. And for some reason, it was like I feel like I'm maybe seeing that in a new way. There were so many encouragements from you about that it was like, oh, it was coming in some other way, that I feel a little like maybe I've often more been kind of like you talk about, like on the defensive with conditioning, like when I realize I'm, in a conditioned place and having trouble, then I better, direct my attention. But I'm just curious about this place of kind of being more on the offensive and sort of always being clear about what am I really directing it to, not just away from. And a part of me was like, oh my gosh, I can't tell Sherry that. I think she's been telling that for years, and it's like I've just been seeing it. But
well,
but I wanted to see about it. So
yeah, and that's exactly it. That's exactly right. Because we're on retreat this week. We were just talking. I was just talking, I think. I was just talking this morning again about how difficult it is for us as conditioned humans to realize that conditioning is not who we are. So, I don't know a good image, actually, to put with that. But it could be, as if there's kind of a blow-up human being walking around, kind of an automaton sort of a thing. Well, exactly that, actually. And inside of that is the intelligence and the awareness and the clarity and the insight and the, all of what a human being is, and the way that we experience ourselves as life. But when we look in the mirror, we see this automaton, and so we assume that that's who we are. And if we take it the next step, the automaton actually has received all kinds of information, and it's able to just regurgitate that sort of almost appropriately. And it has these loops of information that just go around and around and around and around and around and around and around. And we have been convinced, we go as far as to say the intelligence that is actually operating that automaton, because it doesn't demand a particular experience, it just basically kind of passively goes along with the belief that automaton is the human. With me so far?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. And so what we're attempting to do in this is realize that, oh, actually, that's not who I am. And the experience, the fastest way, I think, to have an experience of what we really are, for instance, I'm I'm sitting here in my little house by the monastery, and my feet are up on the desk, and I'm looking out my window across the canyon, the valley that's out in front of my house, and it's beautiful. The sun is low in the sky. It's been a gorgeous day. It rained yesterday, and everything is very fresh, and the colors are bright, and it's gorgeous. And I can either be aware that is the case, that I'm here in this comfortable place. It's really beautiful around me. Talking to a great person. I'm doing this great thing called being able to be with Sangha via via technology, and that's the experience that I could be having, or I could go with an experience of an automaton. And that experience would be something about the past, something about the future, what's wrong, what there isn't enough of. And it would be possible, by going with that karmically conditioned experience, to miss all of the beauty, all of the wonder, all of the glory of the present moment as it actually is, because I would be giving my attention to an imaginary reality that does not exist anywhere, never has and never will. Get a sense of it?
Yes. totally. And I mean, a little, just like a twinge of sadness or something, and just feeling like, wow, how often that other is the case. But I guess if I go any, you know, go anywhere with that, I'll be off in the automaton conversation. So
that
it's like, well, I'm here now.
That
yeah.
is such a brilliant catch. That is exactly the way it would pull a person back into automaton land.
Mm.
Oh my God, that's so sad. I've
right, and then you're gone.
yeah, and then this moment is gone. And then it's got another story, or it just catches a person up in, well, you know, the economy really is bad, and what's going to happen if, you know. So there are a million automaton stories to pull a person out of life. And so what we are practicing to turn our attention to is life. Now, for the exciting world of the automaton, life is really boring. You know, it's just sky and clouds and trees and grass and animals and people smiling, and it's boring. There's nothing interesting or exciting going on. And as authentic beings, when we tap into experience of life animating all that is, it's just glorious beyond expression.
I really get that. Even tonight, I just was feeling that, like you're describing, you know, as I've been on the call, it feels like there's been more of a shift, you know, being with Sangha and hearing everything that's coming in. And I very consciously, you know, went to a spot where I can look at the moon. Here it's dark on my coast, so I can look at the moon in the sky, and it's amazing. And yet, you know, much of the time there's not paying attention. It's, oh, I've seen it all before, or, you know, what, I'm not even noticing that there's this like majestic, amazing stuff everywhere. Yeah.
All the time. And the most immediate majestic thing going is you. That's the experience we are most close to. Because here is life animating this form that can do and be and experience, feel, think, sense. All of these experiences, it's the most extraordinary creation ever. We're meant to just bypass that, ignore it. Of course, as we know, extra added, be mean to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And think that's living, and that's the, you know, that's the real life going on there. Ugh.
Yeah.
it's really creepy, huh?
Yeah. And so that's what we're doing with this. It's the, you know, the other way we talk about it often is moving from the dark room to the light room. And so where do we want to direct our attention? We want to get it out of that karmically conditioned nonsense and get it here, now, in this, with this form in this moment. Heart open, senses all on alert, and really connected and participating in this moment. So we just practice. We see ourselves caught over there, whatever it is that's going on, and we get here. And, of course, the breath is our most immediate connection. So, okay.
Yes, yes. Ah, well, that is wonderful. Thank you. I'm really interested and excited about you know, sort of seeing it in this other way. And in this conversation, I can feel that aliveness. So I'm going to keep turning my attention to this.
That's
yeah.
it. And Jen, that's it. You can feel the aliveness. You're feeling life living.
Wow.
And that's right.
Yeah.
The more you do it, the more you're with it, the more powerful your experience of it. It's not that it's more powerful, because it's as powerful as anything is capable of being, but we are more and more with it. And so at first, you know, we're with it and we think, oh, that feels good. And then the more we're with it, I'm really happy. And starting to use words like bliss, okay, to describe completely with that which is it.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so
you
grateful.
You are so welcome. Thank you for calling. And enjoy that moon, huh?
I will. Thank you. Have a great night. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jen. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
I think the moon is full tonight, right?
Is it tonight? I've been watching it get bigger. I'll have a look out tonight. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there?
Sounded like they hung up.
Try the next one. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Are you there, caller?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Hi.
I was just unmuting my phone. Hi, this is Hamza.
This is who?
Hamza.
Hey, Hamza. How are you?
Hi. I'm great.
Good.
It was funny. I wasn't expecting to get on the call. I've been calling in for the last 3 weeks or so, and I was beginning to think there was some magic that I needed to do with the phone to actually get on.
Must be a way to hold your mouth that you weren't doing, right?
Or some keys to bed or something, but yeah.
So what's going on?
You know, really what was being discussed about being at work and having that, you know, just everything that goes on in that experience. But I just had a thought that, well, what I've been doing, actually, I got a chance to go on retreat about a month ago. And ever since then, I've been starting every day with meditation. And and so what I'll notice, it's like this totally fresh start. And I just feel great in the morning. And then it's like... and then something will happen through the day, and it's like I get knocked out of that state.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then what I've been able to actually see with it is it's like, but then the next day I just start with meditation again, and it's like a totally clean slate. And so it's like every day I get to see kind of how it works, like how something will come in and knock me out, and like, oh, I just got identified there, or like, oh, I just, you know, picked up that person's fear, or something like that. And it's just been great to notice that.
It is great to notice that, isn't it? And if we never fall for the you should know better, you've already seen that, why are you still doing it? If we
right.
just stay in, my best opportunity is, first of all, I love what you're saying about every time you get a clean slate. I mean, and it's
yeah.
true. It is true, actually, on a moment-by-moment basis. Every time we come back to the present, we have a completely clean slate to start out with. But then to bring in that element of, and I get to watch how conditioning does this to me over and over and over. That
hey.
Is practice. It's a
hey.
Beautiful
yeah.
description of practice.
Yeah, and you know, the other piece of this is, so I work in a software company, and so there's kind of like this voice that's saying, well, you know, surely you need conditioned mind to work at a software company. You know, I mean, okay, maybe you can go meditate for a while and you don't need me then, but now you really need me. And I've just been sort of confronting that voice and saying, well, why?
Right. Right. I'm sorry. I would like to be innovative and creative and present and wise and intelligent. I need a conditioned program to help me what?
Right. And it doesn't have a good answer for that.
No. No, it doesn't.
It's like it goes silent, right? It's just why?
Yeah.
And there's no answer.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yeah. It can't come up with an answer because there isn't one. We actually don't need it for anything.
Right. And it's, yeah. But it's sort of like, it's so entrenched. And I think it kind of has a lot to do with not being in privileged environment. You know, like, it is just kind of this programming to get sort of swept away by what's going on in the company and with other people, or what I project is going on.
Yes.
I really don't really have much of a clue. But yeah, but just like you said, it is just, it's makes it, I've just been feeling enthusiastic about it lately, that it's, oh, that's just an even greater practice opportunity.
Yes. God, I so hope for you that you never lose that attitude of mind. That's the beginner's mind that Zen is famous for. Always to be in that, this is a new moment, this is a new human, this is a new awareness, a new insight, yay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, well, I'm going to definitely sit with what you said about each moment being a clean slate. So, thank you. That's a good...
It'll perk up those little breaks during the day, huh?
Mm-hmm. Great.
Well, I'm glad you made it through.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad too.
Take care. Talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Hanza. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And Sherry, we've come to 6 o'clock.
I know. It just doesn't seem possible, does it?
No. No.
Well,
and I'm really grateful that we are still here and practice is still here and I get to participate, and it's just such a blessing for me.
Such a good deal.
Great deal.
Thank you, Michael. Let's talk
Thank
again
you.
Next week.
Okay, I look forward to it.
Okay, me too. Good night.
Good night.